Carnation Evaporated Milk presents a star, Barry Sullivan, on Stars Over Hollywood.
To me, being out of work and broke was unbelievable, but it happened. And the piece of paper I picked up off the sidewalk that night was just as unbelievable. Did you ever find a $100 bill?
From Hollywood, California, where the world's favorite stars live and work, the world's favorite evaporated milk brings you transcribed Stars Over Hollywood. Each week, Carnation presents another famous name from motion pictures, television, and radio. Such distinguished performers as Jane Wyman, Lionel Barrymore, Audrey Totter. Today's star, Barry Sullivan, may currently be seen in the Lindsley Parsons production, Loophole. Today's story, The $100 Bill, is brought to you from Hollywood by Carnation, the milk from contented cows. Ladies, when you buy milk, buy wonderful Carnation evaporated milk. No other form of milk is so good in so many ways. Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Carnation is good, whole, country fresh cow's milk, concentrated to more than double richness through evaporation. Nothing is removed but water, nothing added but vitamin D. For your coffee, cooking, baby feeding, buy economical Carnation evaporated milk, the all-purpose milk, the milk from contented cows. And be sure to hear Carnation's home service director, Mary Blake, right after the first act of today's story. She's going to tell us all about a delicious one-dish dinner developed by Betty Crocker of General Mills. And now, Act One of The $100 Bill, starring Barry Sullivan in the role of Bob Randall. Curtain going up.
Have you ever been fired? Fired from a job you thought would last as long as you wanted it to last? I thought my job with Acme Chemical was like that, too. Yeah, but I'm getting ahead of my story. My name is Bob Randall. I live in the little suburban town of Winston. My wife, Julie, and I have a comfortable seven-room house surrounded by a white picket fence. There's a nice green lawn in front and a large backyard. Friendly neighbors, a good life. Not exciting, maybe, but a good life. I'd usually get home every afternoon a little after five.
Hi, Lockenbar. I'm spraying the roses you promised to spray last Sunday, remember?
Wrong number, Guinevere. This is the horseradish man. I also have a nice line of fish glue, sand and gravel, caps for jelly, and...
I just say you've got a nice line, period. How are you, darling?
How's everything, Julie?
Fine. You look tired. Hard day today?
Oh, medium rare, which brings up an interesting and moody question. What's for dinner? I'm starved.
Everything you dislike the most. French onion soup, spaghetti with meatballs, and English muffins.
Ah, a typical American dinner. Hey, shall I put the car away?
No, leave it out, dear. We might take in a movie after a while.
Good. I understand there's a brand new picture at the Bijou starring Theda Bara and Ben Turpin. Well, it was like that. Laughter, understanding, love, a happy life. And then, as the expression goes, the blow fell. Ray Dawson, the vice president in charge of production, called me into his office. He told me that Acme was selling out to Standard Chemical, and of course, they'd be bringing in their own people. Although Dawson tried to make it easy, it was like a stiff, unexpected punch in the stomach, knocked the wind out of me. We parted with the usual cliches used under the circumstances. Cleaned out my desk and went home.
That you, Bob?
Yeah, Julie.
How come no beep de dee dee beep beep today?
I'm not exactly in the mood.
What'd you say, dear? I couldn't hear you. Come on out in the kitchen. I'm putting the finishing touches on a chicken pie. Well, don't you have a kiss for the little woman who bears your name?
Of course.
What's the matter, Bob? Aren't you feeling well?
I'm all right.
Well, you're certainly not yourself. What's the trouble, dear?
And Julie, I may as well let you have it. Brace yourself. I got fired today.
Fired?
Yeah.
But
But you've been with Acme Chemical for 8 years.
Yes, Dawson mentioned that while he was giving me the sack. Oh, he was considerate and really very nice, but it still remains I got bounced, fired.
But why? I know you've done a good, conscientious job. Everyone likes you at the plant, and the way you
Dawson
work...
Dawson mentioned all those things, too. It's no fault of mine, and it isn't the fault of the firm, either. Acme sold out to Standard, and that's that. If it's any consolation, I wasn't the only one that got canned. There were 10 others.
Oh, darling, don't you think you're taking this a bit too seriously? After all, you're a rather bright child. You shouldn't have too much trouble getting another job.
I don't know, Julie. Let's face it. Universities all over the country are turning out hundreds of industrial chemists. And don't forget, I've been specializing on one product for the past 8 years. It's not good, baby.
Oh, don't be silly. You're tired right now. You feel better after dinner.
Guess you're right. We'll talk it over after dinner. After all, it's not the end of the world. We talked it over many dinners after that. I did everything I could to get work. Every morning I went into town, and every night I came home with the same report. No job. Oh, there were a number of leads, and some of them promising, and lots of promises that led nowhere. Went on for weeks and weeks. By this time, my severance pay was gone, and we began to dig into our savings.
Another cup of coffee, dear?
Yes, please. You know, Julie, I've been thinking. Here I've been breaking my neck trying to get work as an industrial chemist. But there are other jobs I could get.
I saw an ad in the paper last week. The circus is looking for a man who's willing to be shot out of a cannon twice a day.
No, I'm serious. Perhaps I could get a job as a salesman.
Oh, Bob, you're not cut out to be a salesman. Look, darling, you're an industrial chemist and a darn good one. I know it's been discouraging, but you'll find something. You just have to have patience.
My patience is wearing pretty thin, Julie, and so is our bank balance.
Don't worry, darling. We'll muddle through somehow.
Julie, darling, you're swell, but I'm worried, and I know you are, too.
I'm not. Bob, you're actually getting panicky, and that's bad, darling. Don't you realize that?
I realize that we're in a jam. We have payments to make on the house, the car, the freezer. My insurance is due on the 18th, and there's...
Listen, dear, I've written a few letters, made some personal calls, and done a bit of phoning.
What do you mean?
Well, I signed Mr. Sutcliffe at the bank and explained the situation, and he was very, very cooperative. Until we get back on our feet, he'll be satisfied if we just pay the interest on our loan.
Really?
And I was able to get extensions on our payments for the freezer and the car. And Gus at the service station told me not to worry about gas and oil. Oh, honey, everyone was so understanding and seemed to feel a personal concern. They all...
Well, of course. They know we're not deadbeats.
Well, so now you don't have any real pressure on you, and you can just stop worrying so much, right?
Julie, I don't know what to say, except I think you're wonderful. But the pressure was on just the same. You know, being out of work for a long period of time had always been one of those remote, unbelievable things that might happen to someone else, but not to me. But it was happening. Meeting neighbors and friends, it wasn't easy. I was wearing a fixed smile most of the time and making with wisecracks about being a gentleman of leisure. It was pretty corny, not very convincing. Then one day, I ran into Dr. Crawford coming out of the bank.
Well, Bob, how are you?
Hello, Doc. Haven't seen you in a long time.
That's right. Congratulations, my boy.
Congratulations?
Well, great news, isn't it? I know how long you and Julie have been wanting a baby.
A baby?
Now, son, you don't have a thing to worry about. Julie is in excellent condition. She shouldn't have a bit of trouble. There's my wife. My impatient wife, I should say. I'll be seeing you, Bob. Now, congratulations again and good luck.
Yeah. Thanks, Doc. Julie, why didn't you tell me?
Tell you what?
I just met Doc Crawford. He told me you're going to have a baby.
Oh, honey, I wanted to tell you myself, but since you know... Oh, darling, isn't it marvelous?
Yes, it is, but...
After all these years, oh, Bob, I'm so thrilled.
Honey, what are we going to do?
Well, we're going to have a baby.
But under the circumstances, how can we? Being out of work, our bank balance down to practically nothing, we can't, Julie.
You want to bet?
Julie, are you really as unworried as you seem to be?
Well, why should I worry? I have absolute faith in you. I just know everything is going to be all right. And darling, just think of the nice deduction you'll have in your income tax next year.
Oh, Julie. Well, if I tried hard before to get work, I tried twice as hard now. I ran down every lead. I wrote letters. I put ads in the newspapers. I went to see Dawson. He suggested I go to Pittsfield, and he gave me a letter to Alan Burroughs, the president of Allied Chemical Products. I went to Pittsfield. Burroughs told me there might be an opening in 4 or 5 months. Nothing definite. I was pretty beat by the time I got back home that night.
Maybe that you, Bob?
Yeah. Don't ask me how I made out. I didn't.
There's some mail for you on the buffet. After you've kissed me, you may read it.
Sorry, dear. This looks like answer to one of my ads. If I'd like to invest some time and money in developing a new detergent, I might... Oh, fine. Here's a card from the old alma mater. Class reunion on the 16th.
You've never missed one, have you, Bob?
Oh, well, it's the first time for everything. Now, what do you know? Here's a note from Bill Forster.
Bob, listen to me.
Hmm?
I want you to go to that class reunion. It's just what you need.
What are you talking about, Julie? It would cost at least $20, $25. We're in no position for...
But it would be so good for you. Honey, you've been under such a strain. It'd give you...
I have a question, so let's forget it. Say, how have you been feeling today?
All right.
That doesn't sound very convincing.
No, really, really, I feel fine. I know it's crazy. I've heard of such things, but... Bob, I'm simply craving for some strawberry ice cream. Are you too tired to go down to the drugstore?
No, of course not. I'm just glad it isn't pickled persimmons. They'd be hard to get this time of night. On my way back from the drugstore with the ice cream, I saw a piece of crumpled paper being blown across the sidewalk. I picked it up and smoothed it out in the light of the street lamp. It was a $100 bill.
But, Bob, I just can't believe it. Imagine finding a $100 bill.
Well, whoever lost it will advertise, that's for sure.
Oh, maybe they won't. I don't know. I just have a feeling, a premonition... This is sort of a symbol, a stroke of fate, a turning point in our fortunes. From now on, I just know our luck is going to change.
Darling, don't build up anything.
Promise me something, Bob. If no one claims the bill, will you go to your class reunion?
Yes, Julie, I'll promise you. If it'll make you happy, I'll promise you.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, The $100 Bill, starring Barry Sullivan, brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, here's our advisor on foods and cooking, Carnation's home service director, Mary Blake. Mary, we're all pretty anxious to hear the exciting news about the wonderful new recipe for Dutch pantry pie.
Well, it is exciting, Art, because first of all, Dutch pantry pie is an economical one-dish dinner developed by my good friend Betty Crocker of General Mills, and it's winning praise from coast to coast. This delicious Dutch pantry pie is a complete meat-hearty meal for six people, and it's made with four famous products from your pantry shelf.
Okay, well, give us the rundown on those, will you, Mary?
All right. The outside of this appetizing pie is an extra flaky crust that won't get soggy, which is made with dependable gold medal, the kitchen-tested flour, and Wesson oil, the shortening that pours. Inside the pie are morsels of pure pork spam, savory and satisfying in a creamy, smooth sauce that's sure to be successful every time. And, of course, that's because you use wonderful Carnation evaporated milk. That's the milk that gives Dutch pantry pie its extra tasty, failure-proof cream sauce.
And that's to be expected, because after all, as millions of homemakers have learned, Carnation is more than double rich and heat-refined for better blending with other ingredients. Well, now, Mary, how about telling our listeners where they can find this exciting recipe?
This Dutch pantry pie, developed by Betty Crocker of General Mills, will appear in the March 15th issue of Life magazine and also in 26 other magazines. What's more, your grocer has this special recipe on display. So help yourself to a free Dutch pantry pie recipe and treat your family to this delicious one-dish dinner tonight.
And remember to get plenty of Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, to make that dinner a sure success. We return now to the second act of The $100 Bill, starring Barry Sullivan in the role of Bob Randall. It was a peculiar thing. Although Bob was without a job and Julie was expecting a baby, he wasn't as worried as he had been. Finding that $100 bill changed his outlook. As Julie had said, it seemed to be an omen, a turning point in their lives.
Mr. still isn't any ad in the newspaper about a lost $100 bill.
I just knew there wouldn't be.
It doesn't seem strange to you, Julie. Surely a person losing that amount of money would make some effort to get it back.
Well, it isn't such a big amount of money, dear. It just seems big because of what you've been through.
$100 is still $100.
Why, Robert, what an astute statement.
Mm.
Are you going to start being a fuddy-duddy all over again?
No, I won't. I must admit that things look brighter since I found that bill. Hank Breslau says there might be an opening for me with BAF Chemical. Bill Forster's arranged a meeting for me with the Chadwick people, and there is a good chance...
Do you know what date it is today?
Huh? Oh, sure. It is the 14th.
That's right. And your class reunion is on the 16th. I sponged and pressed your dinner clothes, and I had Gus wax the car.
Now, wait a minute. We cannot afford...
Oh, yes, we can. You promised and you're going.
But look, Julie, our bank balance is down to $160.
And 97 cents. And you've got some good prospects, and don't forget you've got 100 simoleons in your wallet. Now, I ask you, chum, how many men carry that much money in their pockets?
I just love your logic, Julie. I really do.
You will go, won't you, dear?
All right, I will. I've been thinking, perhaps I can make a connection through one of the fellas.
You know, that thought occurred to me, too. But the main thing is for you to relax and have fun. Forget your worries for a couple of days and get a fresh outlook on everything.
It's a deal. However, I think I'd better deposit the $100 bill in the bank before I go.
You'll do no such thing. You're going to keep that bill in your pocket just for luck.
Okay, Julie. Just for luck. Well, I drove up to State U on the evening of the 15th. The kids put me up at the fraternity house with all the courtesy and tolerant condescension due an old grad who had once played a fair to middling game of football. It was good to see my gang again. We went to Luigi's College Inn for dinner. We had the usual libations, sang the usual songs, told the usual stories, cut up the usual old touches. I'd planned to ask one of the boys to try and fix me up with a job, but now that I was with him, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Call it foolish pride, maybe, but I just couldn't. All of them were successful. Bingo headed a nationwide newspaper syndicate. Graham had a prosperous automobile agency. Waldo, he was loaded, president of a bank. Skip Finley was partner in a brokerage house. Me? I was a flop. Who didn't even have a job. Over our coffee and cigars, someone suggested we match to see who would pay the check for the dinner. Well, you guessed it. I lost. 25 guys, and I had to be elected. I did a rapid bit of mental arithmetic. 25 and 450 apiece, that had added up to $112.50. That would really clean me out. I'd have just enough to get home. With an inner sigh, I took the $100 bill from my wallet, started to count what I had in my pocket, and called Luigi over.
Yes, Mr. Rendell, you want something?
Yes, Luigi, let me have the bill.
The bill, Mr. Rendell?
Yeah, I believe it adds up to $112.50, right?
That's right about the bill. She's already paid.
What do you mean, paid?
Mr. Barrett, he's already paid a check. He says he's a treat tonight for his friends.
No one had noticed that Waldo had left the table before we started matching. I put back the $100 bill in my wallet and slightly shaking fingers and decided I'd better get a breath of fresh air before I fell on my face. As I left the dining hall, Waldo Barrett sauntered over to me a bit unsteadily, but as dignified as ever.
Enjoy these reunions. Don't you, Bob?
I certainly do. You know, Waldo, that was mighty decent of you to pay the...
Oh, no. Think nothing of it, old boy. Can't take it with you, you know. This is one time of year I can let my hair down. But there's left of it, of course.
Hey, I was just going out to get a nose full of air. Want to come along?
There's an excellent suggestion. Hey, I know. Let's go for a ride in my car. I want you to see it. The little job I picked up when I was in Italy last year. The sweetest little job you ever saw in your life. Just listen to that engine purr. And now, honey?
That's great, but take it easy, will you?
The thing I like best is the way it handles. A wonderful pickup. Stops on a dime.
Slow down, will you, Waldo? This isn't the Indianapolis Speedway.
Don't worry about me, Bob. I know this car.
Hey,
and
yeah,
I...
look out. That pickup truck ahead.
Well, I'll cut right around and...
Sergeant, this is ridiculous. I'm as sober as you are.
Yes, maybe. But I'm not wrapping my car around telephone poles.
The accident was absolutely unavoidable, Sergeant. When Mr. Barrett passed the pickup truck, we skidded into the telephone pole. That's all there was to it.
There's been too much speeding around here. I'll have to hold you $100 bail, Mr. Barrett.
Why, certainly. I'll write you a check.
$100 cash.
Well, but I have not much in cash, but I assure you...
$100 cash, no check. Cash.
Here you are, Sergeant. It's a $100 bill.
Okay. You know, you look familiar to me. What'd you say your name was?
Bob Randall.
Bob Randall.
Randall, didn't you play football for state 6-8 years ago?
Yeah, it's been longer than that.
Didn't they used to call you Rambling Randall?
That's right.
Well, sure I remember you. You made 3 touchdowns against the Aggies back in the... Oh, let's see.
As I remember, it was back in 43, Sergeant.
Yeah, that's it, 43. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, here's your $100 bill back, Mr. Randall. We'll let Mr. Barrett go on his own recognizance.
Oh, thanks, Sergeant.
Yes, sir, I never will forget that game. State was 2 touchdowns.
Well, I got well out of bed, but I still didn't feel sleepy. I decided to go for a walk and get that nose full of air I'd spoken of an hour before. It was a warm, balmy night. It seemed good to be back in the quiet little college town that was so packed with memories for me. I had met Julie here. It was here that we had become engaged. Suddenly, I wondered how she was feeling. Wouldn't you get a kick out of it when I told her how the $100 bill had helped out both me and Waldo Barrett? And it did seem to be sort of lucky. I was so engrossed with my thoughts that I wasn't aware of anyone being near me until I felt a gun pressed into my back and heard a gruff voice saying,
"Okay, Mac, move over there into that doorway."
What? When is this?
I won't even give you 3 guesses. Now hand over the poke.
The poke?
Yeah, the leather. Come on. I want your money, Mac. Get it up.
Now, see here.
I need your wallet, Mac, before I blast you.
What of that $100 bill in my wallet? What it had accomplished that night? More than ever, it seemed to be a symbol, as Julie had said, a turning point in our fortunes. I'm not a particularly brave guy, but suddenly I knew I wasn't going to let this hoodlum take it away from me.
I ain't going to tell you again. You don't hand over your wallet right now, I'm going to...
You're going to do nothing. Give me that gun.
I'm warning you, Mac. I mean business.
So quiet!
Here. It's right here on the front page. Manny Morris, first on the FBI list of most wanted criminals, was under arrest today. In an attempted holdup on the campus of State University, this desperate escaped convict was apprehended by Robert E. Randall. Oh, Bob, tell me.
Gosh, Julie, if I'd known, if I'd any idea who the guy was, I would have, well, I don't know. I'm sure I wouldn't have tackled him. Believe me, Julie.
Oh, tell me, why did you?
It was our $100 bill. I wasn't going to let him take that away from me. I smacked him, the gun went off, and the next thing I knew, the cops had him. As a $10,000 reward.
Oh, Bob, isn't that wonderful?
You haven't heard the best part of it yet. Bingo interviewed me. He wanted a story for his newspaper syndicate. Mm. He started to ask me routine questions. He asked me who I was working for. I guess I began to stammer. And, well, he found out I didn't have a job. But I certainly have one now.
What do you mean?
His syndicate has been buying paper mills. He wants me to take charge of production as his industrial chemist.
Oh, Bob, that's marvelous.
Yeah, certainly is a great opportunity. Oh, Julie, I don't know. Maybe it sounds goofy, but it's all due to that $100 bill.
Oh, it did change our luck, darling.
It seems that way.
May I deposit it in the bank to the baby's account?
Say, Julie, of course. That's a swell idea. A bank account before he's even born.
He?
Or she, as the case might be.
Yes,
here.
Oh, Bob, this is terrific. Look.
$100 bill. I thought you were going to put it in the bank.
That wouldn't take it.
It wouldn't take it. Why not?
It's counterfeit.
Counterfeit?
That's what I said. Counterfeit. Oh, Bob, isn't that priceless?
Priceless. That's just the word for it.
You know, darling, there's a lesson in this somewhere.
I suppose there is. As long as you have confidence, Julie, anything can happen. Even if it's confidence in a phony $100 bill. Darling, we're going to have it framed and keep it forever.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of this week's Stars Over Hollywood show, as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Barry Sullivan. Before we have news about next week's show, how about a curtain call for our star?
I'm all for that, Art.
Well, that's good, because we want an opportunity to tell you how much we enjoyed your performance today in the $100 bill.
That's good news to me. I got quite a kick out of playing the role of Bob.
Well, and as Barry Sullivan, father of 2 healthy children, I'll bet you get a kick out of your role as dad in that wonderful family.
Yeah, I sure do. But it's one that keeps you pretty busy.
And one that brings lots of responsibilities, too. And that's why I know you'll be interested in the key to a good beginning in life for babies. Carnation Evaporated Milk.
We know all about that at our house, Art. And believe me, we're for it.
Well, so are millions of other parents, Barry. They know, too, that as a foundation for sturdy, good health, there's nothing better than Carnation Evaporated Milk. Carnation has earned the full confidence of parents the world over.
Kind of doctors, too, right?
I should say so.
For years, leading baby specialists have recommended it. You see, they know that every single drop is processed with prescription accuracy in Carnation's own plants.
pasteurized and sterilized after the can is sealed. So we say to all our listening mothers, ask your doctor about Carnation. It's the milk every doctor knows. And now, Barry, for your charming wife, a wonderful Carnation mother, here's a bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation evaporated milk.
Well, thanks a lot, Archie. We'll appreciate them. Hello, everybody.
Goodbye, Barry Sullivan. Next Saturday, Stars of Hollywood will present Miss Audrey Totter in a dramatic story titled Paid in Full. Now, here's Miss Totter.
Please try to understand. Money doesn't bring back a life. I have to do more than that, because I am responsible. Some way, I don't know how, I have to make it up to this man and his little girl.
Thank you, Audrey Totter. We'll all be listening next week to hear you in this moving play. The story on today's Stars of a Hollywood presentation was written by Edward Verdier. Supporting Mr. Sullivan were Doris Singleton, John Daner, Larry Dobkin, and Don Diamond. The program was directed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure you buy Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. No other form of milk comes in so handy, so many times, so many ways.
It's Carnation time when it's coffee time. It's Carnation time when you're cooking too. It's Carnation time at baby feeding time. The milk from contented cows for you. All around the clock, it's time for Carnation.
A word to all you mothers. If you'd like to hear your children ask for more milk, then start serving them Carnation malted milk today. Both extra delicious and extra nourishing, Carnation malted milk helps children maintain the vitality and good condition so important in resisting colds and flu. So get Carnation malted milk today at your favorite food store. And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood. This is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show, brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Tune in every Saturday to hear the world's greatest motion picture stars on Stars Over Hollywood. Next Saturday, we are proud to present Audrey Totter in Paid in Full. Stay tuned now to hear City Hospital, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you transcribed from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the CBS Radio Network.